जनि प्रतिन्दति हेतुरो योश्च विश्वस्य नित्यम् अनृतजरविरोधी शाश्वतोऽनन्तरूपः श्रवणमननयोग्यो जीवरूपाभिन्नो विदधतु मयि बुद्धिं शङ्करोऽयम् यतीन्द्रः विदधतु मयि बुद्धिं शङ्करोऽयम् यतीन्द्रः ॐ भद्रं गणेशि Yesterday we pointed out the goal. World is what we perceive through our mind. Out there is nothing but God. We are perceiving Him through the limited agent of our mind, and hence we are seeing fragmented, where there is nothing but totality and wholeness. Out there is nothing but absolute, but we are seeing everything as relative. Out there is nothing but real, but we are perceiving it as something which is transitory, continuously changing. The change has to take place in our mind through which we are perceiving. Once the mind gets exhausted of its limitations, when it works itself out, you would have attained the vision which is our own natural self. Vrittikshaya chittam svayona upashamyati. Vritti means behavior, external manifestation, modification. Once all that is inherent in our mind is expressed, all small modifications come to an end, you will attain the goal. But what is stopping it? The Upanishad goes on to assert, svayona upashantasya manasas satyakamatah indriyartha vimodhasyandata karma vashanuka. Upanishad points out that the mind, manasah, indriyartha vimodhasya, it is misled by attachment to the worldly objects through the senses. Indriyartha vimodasya manasa. Our mind at present is in the state of vimoha, is in the state of absolutely dullard. It's a very strong word which the Upanishad is using, but that is the reality. Mudha means one who doesn't understand anything. Do we understand what is our own real nature? We don't even know what really I am. At any given moment, whatever is immediately present draws our whole attention. We are not even able to see ourselves from 1 year to the next year, what to speak of from birth to death. We don't have any clear picture of ourselves. Even what we have been throughout the year. If you don't mind, I can go a step further and say that you are not even able to recall properly what you have done from morning to evening. You have been harsh with people, you have been kind with people. You have spoken in a very mild and beautiful way, and you have spoken in very crude ways. You have behaved with people absolutely treacherously, cheating them purposefully, and then you have also behaved with people in the most liberal way, within a period of 12 hours from morning to evening. If you sit down and recall yourself, you will find that you do not have your whole picture. You yourself may be surprised if a modern instrument is used and your 12 hours are recorded into a video cassette. And if it is played back to you, you yourself will be surprised. There was one lady, she used to complain that her husband is very harsh. But whenever I had a talk with the husband, he was saying that I am always very considerate. So I said, all right, I can't solve the problem, but let us utilize a tape recorder. Keep a tape recorder with me, so that whenever two people talk, it will be recorded there. It is only then that I can come to a conclusion whether it is he who is harsh or you are misunderstanding me. She did it. And it was surprising when it was played back to the husband. He realized what he had been doing, and without my making any effort, he changed himself. So what to speak of ourselves from birth to death? We don't even have our own picture of 1 year or even 1 day. That is why the Upanishad says, Indriyartha Vimurasya. We are in a state of stupefaction. Vimura. Because we are continuously attracted by Indriyartha. The sense objects, they absorb our attention completely. And because they draw our attention, karma vashanva amrita. Now here the Upanishad lays down a very interesting thing. When I am attracted to a sense object, it is not merely the attraction of me as a conscious being, but in my mind, all that I have done previously, virtue or vice, papa or punya, is existing there. And it is this virtue or vice which fructifies as pleasure or pain. Most of the time we feel that it is the objects which give us pleasure and pain. Objects do not have any capacity to give us pleasure or pain. Just as if you take a piece of salt and eat it in any way that you like, it will never give you a sweet taste. Or if you take sugar candy and try as hard as you would, you will not get a saltish or a bitter taste because it doesn't have it. Similarly, objects do not have joy or pain in them. It is only a conscious being who can experience pleasure and pain. So pleasure and pain can never exist in the objects. They always exist whenever there is a reaction between an object and the conscious mind. It is in that interaction. It is something like color. Where does the color exist? Most of the time we feel that color exists in the object. But any student of science knows that color does not exist in the object, it exists in our eyes. There is a very simple experiment which is conducted in class 8. They have what is known as the Newton's disc. They put 7 colors in definite proportions on a particular disc. There is no white color there. There is violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red. All the 7 colors are painted in different parts of that disc in a particular proportion. So when you see a stationary disc, Newton's disc it is called, you can see the 7 colors. Then it is put on a wheel. The wheel is moved. As the rotation catches up, you see a white disc there. Absolutely white disc is observed there. You may feel that disc has changed its color. So you stop the disc. Again, there are only 7 colors there. There is not a dot of white on it. If the color existed on the disc should have become white. The disc has not become white. It is your perception of the disc which has become white. So the 7 colors on the disc have mixed on your retina in your eyes, and therefore you are observing it as white color. So though the color doesn't exist out there, it is in the reaction between your conscious eye and something objective there. Similarly, pleasure and pain does not exist in any object. I am not saying that it exists merely in your mind. Just as color is not merely in your eyes, there is something there outside. It projects itself on you. Then there is a reaction
And that reaction is what we call faculty, the color, the perception of the color. If your retina is defective, you are not able to observe the color. A color-blind person sees only shades of black and white everywhere. So it is a reaction. Similarly, there is something outside there, an object. Something inside in you, in your mind. They react together to bring out pleasure or pain. Now what is that is existing in the mind? Certain things you have experienced as something agreeable. Whatever is agreeable to your mind will give you a sense of pleasure. Whatever is disagreeable to your mind will give you an experience of pain. So there is an object there, then there is a sense of agreeableness or disagreeableness in your mind about that object, and so the reaction takes place and you have the experience of pleasure or pain. Now why at a particular given moment the sense of agreeableness comes? Because it is very strange. The very same thing which may be agreeable to you any number of times, that very object in a particular condition does not give you pleasure. Supposing there is a businessman, he has been working hard, has come home at 7 o'clock in the evening after working 10 hours. He enjoys a particular dish. That particular dish has been prepared by his wife. Whether, for instance, he is going to have it with a cup of coffee. The wife tells him, "I have prepared it for you," and he is very happy. "I was really hungry and I am so glad that you have prepared it." He takes a bite. The telephone rings. He lifts the telephone. The contours of his face completely change. He immediately puts the telephone and says, "I am going to the factory. There is a fire." Now the wife says, "This particular dish is very nice. Why don't you finish it?" He says, "I can't." The bite no more gives him joy. There is no sense of agreeableness in it. And if wife insists that you must have it, somehow or other he will swallow it to please the wife. But it will give him only a painful experience that this delay may create havoc in my factory. So the object is there. He has enjoyed it any number of times. But why is it that it is not agreeable to him at that particular moment? So the Maitrayani Upanishad says it is karma vashanta. At a particular time, if a virtuous act is going to fructify, you are going to have a pleasurable experience. You have done something good that has been recorded into your mind. At that particular time it is going to fructify, and therefore the sense of agreeableness expresses itself. If you have done a vicious act which is going to fructify at that moment, then the very same object
is going to give you a sense of disagreeableness, is going to cause pain to you. This is a thing which we have to remember always. Joy or sorrow